Good morning. My name is Tanya, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the CAPS Action Press Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Katie Peters. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining today's call. Just as a reminder, this call is being recorded, and by participating on the call, you consent to being recorded. I'm Katie Peters, Associate Director of Press Relations here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, we're joined by a panel of public opinion and policy experts to discuss the findings of a new bipartisan poll by Mayor Against Illegal Guns. Winnie Stackelberg, Executive Vice President for External Affairs here at CAP Action, will moderate the conversation. After hearing from speakers, she'll open the call up for questions. If after the call you have additional questions or need further information, please don't hesitate to contact me at kpeters@americanprogressaction.org. And with that, I'll hand the call over to Winnie.
Great. Thank you very much, and thanks for joining this call. We're at an important moment where we're talking about the NRA's political weight. Just to set the frame here, pollsters analyzed just how powerful the NRA really is on Election Day and found that the organization's $12 million in campaign contributions really wasn't able to change voters' beliefs against the NRA's extreme views. We've got terrific folks from the Republican and Democratic side to talk about the findings. And I'm going to turn it over now to Jesse Contario, who's the vice president over at Momentum Analysis, to talk about the poll's findings. Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for being on. As Winnie said, this was a bipartisan poll, part of a series of polls we've done with Mayors Against Illegal Guns over the last few years. Bob Carpenter of Chesapeake Beach Consulting is also on. He's our Republican partner for these projects. So a quick note on methodology. We did three separate surveys of 500 voters in each survey. In each state in Virginia, Colorado, and North Carolina. And the margin of error for each survey is about 4.4 percentage points. So we'll get into the results now. As Winnie said, you know, despite huge spending by the NRA, our survey finds they really didn't move the needle with voters. They spent about $12 million nationally on the presidential race. Excuse me. And as other folks have pointed out, Media Matters and the Sunlight Foundation, they found less than 1% of the money the NRA spent actually went to people who ended up winning their election. And that comports with our data from these three states. We found in each state more voters prefer President Obama over Mitt Romney on the issue of guns. The margin was 9 points in Virginia and a little tighter in North Carolina and Colorado within the poll's margin of error, but still an advantage. As in other polls, we found that voters support specific policy reforms that the extreme NRA opposes, things like mandatory background checks and not allowing convicted sex offenders and convicted domestic abusers to carry guns across state lines with a concealed carry permit. And we found massive support for that, near 90% in each state, even among voters in gun-owning households. And I think Bob will speak to the kind of bipartisan nature of that support later on. Finally, we found that even in the current environment, debate dominated by economic policies and the deficit and fiscal cliff, about two-thirds in each state see gun policy reform as a priority for Obama in his second term, which we're surprised at. Like I said, simply because of the current environment that's dominated by the economy. So I'll turn it over back to Winnie, I think.
And Bob, why don't you go ahead, please?
certainly. I just want to make a couple comments about the what Jesse was just talking about in terms of the public support for some reforms, those being requiring gun owners to pass background checks, prohibiting people with domestic violence arrests from carrying concealed guns across state lines, and prohibit convicted child offenders from carrying concealed guns across state lines. And on each of those three questions, in each of the three states, we see very, very little difference between Democrats and Republicans on those issues, with strong majorities in both parties favoring those. And it's interesting to note that even among presidential voters, for instance, in Virginia, when we asked the question, do you favor or oppose requiring anyone buying a gun to first pass a background check, among Obama voters, 89% favored that, among Romney voters, 88%. So no difference at all. And we see that across the three states, across all three of these issues, with, again, very little difference in terms of partisanship and very little difference, and in some cases, Romney voters actually favoring in higher numbers than Obama voters these very, very these reforms that have strong support, and as Jesse mentioned, not just across the states, but even in gun households and even among all partisans. So with that, let me turn it back to Winnie. And
great. Thanks, Bob and Jesse. I'm going to turn it over to Mark Glaze, who's the director of Mayors Against Illegal Guns, in just one second. But I do want to say one of the things we want to talk about now is, in addition to the survey work that's been done to determine whether voters in battleground states in Virginia and Colorado and North Carolina, whether and how strongly gun policy issues influence their vote, I think the other piece we wanted to unpack a little bit post-election is whether the NRA contributions to candidates, whether their political muscle, whether there's any value and impact in the outcome on congressional races, both in 2012, and we can look a little bit in the past election cycles as well. Let me turn it over to Mark Glaze, who's, again, the director of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Mark?
Thanks, Winnie, and thanks to the folks who conducted this poll so well. So Mayors Against Illegal Guns is about 740 mayors, Republicans, Democrats, no party at all, from around the country who don't just care about and talk about the need for common sense gun laws. They actually run on those issues and get reelected. And the reason they came together is because they felt that the national conversation on this issue had grown ideological in a way that it simply isn't in cities where mayors are held accountable for, you know, when people get shot in schoolyards, when cops get shot at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're the ones who get the call. They're the ones who get held accountable, so they deal with this in a more pragmatic way than members of Congress. And frankly, they wanted to help. So one of our projects has been trying to understand the overwhelming fear that kind of pervades the Congress and some state legislatures of the NRA, unpack that a little bit, understand how much of that is real, how much of that is myth, and try to do what we can to help. And what we've discovered with the help of folks like Republican pollster Frank Luntz and the pollsters on the phone today and lots of other national polls is that, first of all, there's in fact overwhelming support for the common sense gun reforms that are actually being considered by Congress right now. Background checks, something to get 90% approval in states like Colorado, as this week's poll demonstrated. Things like making sure that folks who are on terror watch lists and can't get on airplanes also don't have access to guns at licensed dealers, something that they do have now. There's broad and deep support, and it's been consistent across more than a generation. So given that there's broad support, what's the problem? Well, as Winnie will discuss a little bit more, I think, a guy named Paul Waldman at the American Prospect analyzed, strangely enough, I think, in the first time in a really rigorous way, the past three or four election cycles, and found that despite the mythology that the NRA regularly swings elections, they almost never do. You're hard-pressed if you ask members of Congress to tell you how many members of Congress have lost their seats because of NRA spending or grassroots turnout. They're hard-pressed to give you more than two or three. So the purpose of polls like this is to figure out how actual voters think about guns, The purpose of some of the research that Think Progress and Paul Waldman have done has been to analyze in a real and rigorous way how much influence the NRA actually has. And the result of all of this for us at Mayors Against Illegal Guns is that, that there is really nothing keeping members of Congress, even in marginal districts, from doing what most of them will tell you off the record they believe to be the right thing, which is common sense gun laws that respect the Second Amendment but do a lot more to keep guns out of the wrong hands.
Thanks so much, Mark. Let me just add, and then we can turn it over for questions. I think that's exactly right. While the NRA spends a good deal of money in total, that money is spread over so many races, well over 200 House races alone every election, and therefore it has little more than symbolic effect. The typical NRA contribution in a House candidate around $2,500, including both primary and general election contributions. And at a time when candidates in a competitive House race can expect to spend at least $1 million and sometimes much, much more, this amount is insignificant, on average less than 0.2% of an NRA's recipient's budget comes from the group. That's sort of on direct expenditures. If you look at indirect expenditures, as an example, in the last four elections, the median NRA House independent expenditure has spent less than $10,000, and the median Senate, i.e., only around $30,000. Again, numbers too small to have any real impact. And then finally, I just want to note two key races. In 2010, the NRA spent about $1.5 million on the 2010 Pennsylvania Senate race between Republican Pat Toomey and Democrat Joe Sestak. And Toomey won by 2 points. But could the NRA claim credit? Toomey's campaign spent just under $17 million, over twice as much as Sestak's 7.5. And, you know, the NRA was one of a remarkable 62 outside groups that poured in a total of $28 million. But if you put it in perspective, the NRA's contribution was a tiny percentage of the overall contribution in that race. Similarly, if you look at 2012, the election that we've just gone through, through their two political committees, the Political Victory Fund and the Institute for Legislative Action, the NRA spent $13.4 million on both presidential races, again, to no avail. There were eight Senate races where the organization spent over $100,000, and they lost seven of those eight. The only winner there was in Arizona, and the NRA spent only $322,000 in that race. Again, $21 million going to that Arizona race, so a small fraction. And then in other couple of key races in Ohio, the NRA spent $1 million trying to defeat Senator Sherrod Brown. He won by 5 points. They spent over $700,000 in Virginia supporting George Allen, and the Democrat Tim Kaine won that race by 5 points. Similarly, they tried to defeat Senator Bill Nelson of Florida by spending $670,000, and he won by nearly 13 points. I think this is all examples and evidence, both on the polling side, on the legislative side, as Mark talked about, and on the electoral side, that the NRA's influence is far more exaggerated than it really is. And now we'd like to turn it over to any questions that you all might have.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from the line of Sam Levine.
Hi, thanks for having the call. This is Sam calling from Westwood in Denver. Just had a quick question. Today there was news that, and it's probably for, I guess, Mark Glaze, that the mayor of Aurora, Steve Hogan, stated that he does not want to join the Mayors Against Illegal Guns Coalition, I guess in part because he thinks gun control should be a state issue and not a national one. And obviously this is an issue that's very, you know, relevant here in Aurora and, you know, pretty emotional here. And I'm just wondering if you have any response to, you know, him openly stating he does not want to join the coalition.
excuse me, I do, and I'm glad you called. As a matter of fact, I'm from Denver. I'm a Colorado native. My dad was a gun dealer in Colorado. I was just out there doing some meetings and have spoken with the mayor in the past. The short version is we respect the mayor's view and will not argue with it, but we happen to believe it's incorrect. The fact is 35% of the guns that are found in crime scenes in Colorado came from some other state. And that's a number that has risen over the past 5 years, and it's a number that's about 5% above the national average. And the reason for that is probably that Colorado has better gun laws than surrounding states. You know that Colorado, after the Columbine shooting, by referendum, closed the gun show loophole, meaning if you go to a gun show, buy a gun from a private seller, you have to get a background check. State laws are important. There's no question about that, and we're going to be working to pass some tougher ones in Colorado. But the end result is that guns don't respect borders, and neither do criminals. And one state's lax approach to gun laws makes it possible for, you know, somebody in Colorado to just nip over the border, buy a gun, and bring it back. So the truth is we do need a federal and uniform approach to keep one state's weak gun laws from basically eviscerating the stronger gun laws of the state next door, and Colorado is one of those with pretty good laws.
And would you say that overall it is kind of disappointing to not have his support in a state where obviously there was a very high-profile shooting happening here?
When a high-profile shooting happens and, you know, local officials throw up their hands, it's always disappointing. But we also see it as an opportunity to work with them to demonstrate that, you know, there are lots of ways to keep guns out of the wrong hands that do nothing to get in the way of law-abiding people who want to own guns for self-defense, for sporting, or for hobby. You know, my dad was a gun dealer for more than 20 years in Parlin, Colorado, has absolutely no objection to making sure that every gun buyer gets a background check. He thinks it's a no-brainer. The NRA fights that proposition, but it's one of the things that Mayors Against Illegal Guns has at the top of its list of things he would do to make the country safer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Dave Workman.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I guess this question would be for Mark also. The poll results appear interesting. I haven't read the whole poll, but I'm wondering how that stacks up against the surge in firearm sales over the last several years, and certainly Black Friday seemed to overload the
NICS system.
What's your perspective on that? How do you react to that? You say the NRA doesn't have any influence, but it appears the buying public certainly wants more firearms. So,
sure. So
can I just ask what outlet you're from?
I'm sorry. I'm the senior editor of a publication called thegunmag.com.
Great, thanks so much.
Ah, the Gun Mag. We love the Gun Mag. So here are three answers. First of all, Mayors Against Illegal Guns has no problem with people going out and buying guns. I own guns. Lots of our mayors own guns. Some are NRA members, you know, so a gun surge is fine by us. My second response, which you may like less, is that household ownership of guns has been steadily on the decline for a generation. As, you know, people who grew up like me in a rural setting are increasingly moving to cities, and the number of people who hunt for fun is a little bit on the decline. So the way that you maintain a profit margin for that industry, and this is not a criticism, it's a neutral statement of economic policy, is to sell more and more guns and hopefully more and more expensive guns and more collateral for the guns to a smaller and smaller share of people. My third observation is that the way that the NRA helps do that, though it claims to be only about rights and not about commerce, is by consistently working to generate an atmosphere of fear and hysteria in which we're only one election away from firearms confiscation and, as Wayne LaPierre has said, erasing the Second Amendment from the Constitution. When you do that and whip people into a frenzy, it tends to drive up gun sales. It's a good thing for industry. It may be a good thing for the NRA, and we don't have any problem with people owning more guns. but it doesn't disrupt the fact that, according to GOP pollster Frank Luntz, 74% of NRA members also think everybody ought to get a background check.
Thank you. You bet.
At this time, there are no questions. Do you have any closing remarks?
This is Katie again with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thanks one more time for joining our call this morning. If you have any further questions or need additional information, don't hesitate to email me at kpeters@americanprogressaction.org. Thank you.